Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Finance Show. It's on Tip TV. It's 10 a.m. on the Tuesday, the 22nd of November. It's like the old days. We've got the old guard here. Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and David Buick, senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon.
Morning. You're sort of like cloned in this morning. It's very good. Top of the morning to you, Zach. And to you,
difficulty speaking.
Morning.
It's a bit of a stammer going on.
Yeah, go.
David, we've got lots of slides to go into, so you can't do your normal worldview, Davos type of perspective.
Speak when you're spoken to, exactly.
Right, I mean, we've got the most obvious thing, we've got the S&P soaring, we've still got the Trump rally going on, or the Trump push higher. He hasn't put a foot wrong yet.
Is that a chance? Put a foot wrong. I wish I'd been a fly on the wall in Trump Towers last night. Oh, way. The way he ripped CNN and NBC to pieces, individuals and the rest of it, and then set down his stall and what he was going to do with TPP.
I think we're safe
TPP
for the time being.
No, it's in top form. I think the thing that interests me more about the rally in New York was really the Russell, because it's setting down the stall for, you know, you've got pretty full valuation now, and people are thinking there's some good value in the Russell. Same way with the FTSE 350 with us, or 250 with us, and also with the AIM market. You're going to have to be a stock picker, I think, in the next year or two.
But the greatest thing is, I mean, the man deserves, you know, to be put up there with the greats. To put corporation tax down to 15% in the United States.
He won't do it in one fell swoop.
But it's going to be incredible. I mean, it really is. That's the reason for buying everything.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. It'll take 2 years. But anyway, it's head in the right direction. If he gets it down from 15 to, say, 35 from 27% and then down to 15 the year afterwards, then I think Congress will accommodate him. But one fell swoop.
And if they do the same here as well with Chancellor... I mean, Chancellor Hammond, if you can wake up time for tomorrow's autumn statement.
Be respectful, please. 17% we're going to be at next year, which isn't too bad. It's going to take the United States at least 2 years to catch up. Mm. And so the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is still a deeply attractive place to do business. I put it to you. And, you know, if we could get a situation whereby we didn't have the Financial Times, the Times, the Independent, the Guardian, the BBC, Sky, ITV, profoundly against Brexit, can't get their heads around it, it's done. So could you please try and be constructive in your comments?
No, because they think they can still overturn it.
Yeah, but the damage in doing that, not so much with the people like me who are considered congenital throwbacks, there's 17.4 million of us, is the damage in procrastination. Let's say you're right, and they suddenly scratch the back of their heads in about 2 years' time saying, oh my God, this is too difficult. We can't do this.
What do you make of the report, I think it was in The Independent this morning, that suggests that Richard Branson might be bankrolling the comeback of Tony Blair and his merry band of Brexit wreckers?
It wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibilities, because there was Tim Shipman wrote a very good piece in the Sunday Times about Tony Blair in conjunction with George Osborne looking for premises in Westminster with a staff of about 30, ready to go roll their sleeves up and go into action. I would suspect that the support in the country would be deeply limited, because I think, even though he was an amazingly charismatic character, and he was, it doesn't matter whether you like him, whether you think he made a mess of Iraq or all these other things, is he was very charismatic. And he was, you know, the sort of image that the public wanted to see from their prime minister. But I don't think that's the case now. And I'm not certain in front of the cameras that George Osborne was as popular as he thinks he was. And if you have that as your front to go forward and to wreck Brexit, dream on, it's not going to happen.
Bring in Ed Miliband as well.
I'm not saying that people aren't going to wreck it, because we are. We know little Timmy is, and Nick Clegg, and 54 SNP will run amok, and I'm disgraceful behaviour by Carwin Jones of Plaid Cymru. Wales voters just to move out, only because he doesn't like it.
I mean, you said a couple of weeks ago, just I think it was the day before Trump was elected, the anti-establishment thing is really big.
It's massive.
And, you know, literally, even if you are there, even if you're Philip Hammond or Theresa May, you have to, you know, you can't behave in an arrogant way. Even if you deserved to, you know, even if it's appropriate for you to do so.
Gideon Rackman in the FT, Mike, you probably read it this morning, has written a very good piece fearing Le Pen. Best he does, because she's going to win. Because the anti-establishment vote is such, she is not as extreme as her father. She's a highly intelligent woman. She knows exactly how many beans make four. Mm. François Fillon may be a very good man, and he's got the right approach and the rest of it. But when you consider the problems that France has in terms of immigration, with the threat of absolute implosion from Algeria, from Morocco, and from Tunisia.
They're still in a state of emergency, aren't they?
Yeah.
But surely the fact that Fillon can come from nowhere in 2 weeks to win that
easily,
primary
easily.
Tells you how volatile the political environment is in France.
And he didn't just win it, he won it easily.
Oh, yeah. So
I think we're in for a huge change. Merkel's thrown her hat into the ring for a fourth term. I wish her well.
I think that was a mistake.
But I think she will lose because people are over it now. And they're looking for something different. And they're looking for, you know, greater autonomy in terms of what they want to do. And, you know, the politics situation is going to change dramatically. Sorry, I've spoken too much.
I was going to say, in the meantime, of course, referendum Italy, December 4th, looks like
Renzi's out.
Renzi's going to lose, yeah.
It's like the French Revolution or something, but it's like a carry-on version of the French Revolution. So,
I want to know who's Kenneth Williams.
Here we are. Most popular in business and finance, CBI pleads for clarity, but PM settles for hints. Business groups fail to get May to open up other than allusion to transitional deal, and Boris gets slapped down by EU ministers, and that's from our good friends at The Guardian, who don't obviously, not servants of the establishment at all. Brexit vote wiped $1.5 trillion off UK household wealth in 2016, according to a report. I'm not sure who the report was
written by. Credit Suisse Wealth Management. And notice it's $1.5 trillion.
That sounds bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's translated back into Suisse.
A fall in property values contributed to 400,000 Britons losing their dollar millionaire status. And that's also from The Guardian. Who finds this stuff?
They look hard. But I mean, I must say, the one thing yesterday, Mike and Zach, I'd like your opinion on this, but in my opinion, she did well on Brexit, because she's not a Brexiteer, it's not natural for her. And when you've got The Guardian, The Independent, The Evening Standard, The Times, The FT, looking to eat raw meat, she's quite a tender morsel. So why should she throw them sprats, in order that they can get their teeth stuck into it? She'll never get out of the blocks. So she's dead right in saying, you wait. And when I'm ready, I'm telling you. And then, of course, they will be like hyenas and they'll rip her to pieces. But at least she's got a plan. And I've been told, right or wrong, by people who know David Davis's department and also by Liam Fox, that they haven't been sitting idle. They have been actually about their work, trying to organise the way they think things should be done.
But this is one of the grand ironies, isn't it? That, yeah, among other things, what was promised by the Brexit vote was more democracy, one way or the other, and a reasonable deal with Europe. But the more, should we say, democratically accountable Theresa May is in terms of keeping Parliament informed and so on and so forth, the less likely she is to get a good deal. So to some extent, she's going to either get hit by one side or the other.
I think she's got a sprat to catch the mackerel, though. And the fact that Trump's drawn stumps on TPP does indicate that Trump is interested in free market deals. And if that is the case, there is a chance that because that leverage will be there, that you won't find the obstreperous behaviour from the likes of Barnier, Wiedmann, and all these other people.
Jean-Claude Juncker.
And all these other jokers who've come out of the pack.
Let's move along. Some juicy stuff still to go. Mike's morning markets.
Juicy, indeed.
Overnight, Asia rose for... I didn't actually know it was going to be New York. Asia rose for a second day, tracking record US indices. Japan lags on news of an earthquake and tsunami. European open expected firmer. Emerging Asia suffered some $11 billion in portfolio outflow since the US presidential election, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Doesn't sound like too much, $11 billion, really. The PRA has proposed... proposed that deposit insurance in the UK be restored. The carry-on theme continues. Restored to £85,000 from £75,000 currently, to bring it in line with a minimum €100,000 within the EU. I thought we weren't following these people anymore.
Well, we are. Look at him.
We don't care.
One of the great erudite people of the market keeps following this stuff.
Yes, yes.
Well, no, the interesting thing is, it was originally £85,000. And then they said, well, that's overly generous because the European Union minimum is €100,000. And then, of course, we had the devaluation of pound. And now 85,000. £1,000 is only worth 99 million euros. So, I mean, it's up and down like something.
I want a job in the PRO, because obviously they've got nothing better
than
tweaks in the numbers on this sort of issue. But 9:30, we had the public sector net borrowing for October, which was expected to have declined from 6 billion to 6 billion from 10 billion in September, helped by quarterly corporation tax payments.
So one little thing I'd like to throw into the mix here is insurance companies. The melting that's gone on, you know, in terms of what's gone on in the... I'm not a climate change man, but I'm told this morning very sharply, best you wake up, son. So we need to keep an eye on insurance companies, that non-life insurance companies might come under the cosh.
Catastrophe, and Lloyd's, perhaps.
That's what I'm saying. Which I just throw the pebble in the water. I have nothing apart from I'm just got a wooden spoon and I'm stirring it up.
By the way, those borrowing numbers were somewhat better. It was only ended up being 4.3 billion, and there was a small downward revision to the otherwise horrible September number.
And companies reporting earnings today included Babcock, Compass Group, Mitchells & Butlers, Halma, and later on, presumably, Hewlett-Packard.
How did you forget Urban Outfitters? How could you possibly...
It's not meant to be an exhaustive list, Dave.
Sorry.
Right, OK. Investors Chronicle, the trader Nicole Elliott, her commentary is focusing on President-elect Donald Trump. A little while ago, explained why he liked using social media. He described it as having a newspaper, not having to pay any journalist, I would say. Last night, he was at it again, announcing on YouTube video what he would do in his first 100 days in office. Top of his list was withdrawing from President Obama's pet project, the TPP agreement. He then followed up with a tweet saying he would very much like it if interim UKIP leader Nigel Farage were to be UK ambassador to Washington. And hopefully, in my world, he'll eventually be prime. He'll use that as a stepping stone to being prime minister.
Do you want me to comment?
No.
it was a
rhetorical comment.
It's fine.
Economic calendar, UK CBI trends, total orders November, Canada retail sales, US Richmond Fed manufacturing index, Eurozone consumer confidence, US existing home sales, and selling four-week bills and five-year notes. Sentiment with Oanda clients, they're long up to the eyeballs of silver and gold, as they have been all year. Gold looking a little stronger today, so hopefully less pain for them at the moment. Euro-dollar, as it falls, they go more long of it. And they're also doing roughly the same on sterling or cable. Euro-sterling, they're now back towards neutral, after having been very bearish on that. And the other thing to note, I think, is that they're much less bullish on dollar-yen, which actually, even with the earthquake, hasn't really wobbled that much at all. So that dollar-yen looks like the currency trade at the moment, doesn't it?
Does a bit.
Next up.
You've kept the old Kiwi and the Aussie out, and the old loonie as well, which a lot of people were looking for flight to quality from other things, you know. There we are.
Tip TV trade of the day, Burberry rebound from the rising trend line, likely to result in a retest of recent highs by around 1420, objective 1480, stops below 1390. I still hope there might be some M&A there. If it's going to happen. Faro Petroleum, nice upgrade there from Barclays Capital. One of Malcolm Brainwood's preferred stocks, I believe. Target there up to 100 pence.
Robin Smith of Premier as well joins that one.
Currently at 75 pence, so a lot to shoot for there. And then the comedy part of the presentation here, Anglo-American overweight, JP Morgan 1280, and Anglo-American with Barclays equal weight at 975. I think the share price is currently in the middle of that spread, and I think they were rather late in getting on the rise there from £2.20, both brokers. Tesco share price target there, much below where we are at the moment from JP Morgan, underweight. I don't quite see how they can be so bearish about Tesco, given the shares are, I don't know why.
Also, they've got greater market share, which was reported.
Doesn't make sense that the shares are going to fall by.
You never know how historical those things are.
I think they're wondering how they're going to rebuild margins in an environment where their import costs are rising, and this sort of spat with Unilever.
What did you make of the idea, Mike, of trying to standardise, well, perhaps standardise is not the correct word, but try and utilise their property portfolio slightly better with the possible housing?
Definitely. Definitely.
It could work there. You know, it's not just a headline grabbing. I thought, wow, actually, that's got every possibility.
Yeah. The so-called race for space has exploded horribly in their face. That wasn't meant to rhyme, but never mind. But they've got a massive property portfolio. a lot of it is not fit for purpose one way or the other, yeah. And it can be more usefully utilised. And we're talking about, you know, lack of housing. I'm sure that's something Philip Hammond's going to be talking about tomorrow. Well, you know, there you go. Brownfield site, off you go.
There's loads of them, and it's not needn't be expensive housing as well. It could be social housing.
Well, on that note, I have to interrupt the coffee morning here, but Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and David Buick, senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon, thank you for opening the Tip TV Finance Show today.
Sorry that I've changed the agenda a bit. Apologies.
No, no, it was good. It was different. It was different. We'll have to disagree on Philip Hammond, though, because I've remained to be impressed by that man.
Good.
We'll be back after the break.